hat. Excuse me, man.
Welcome back to the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5, 34 minutes after the hour on this Friday morning. 251-343-0106. Underway right now up in Birmingham, this church, Vestavia Hills Police and the mayor there having a press conference, and I guess a lot of eyes are on that, and we'll see what kind of details come out of this. Not a lot of details have come out, but anyway, joining us now on the line, the chairman of Jefferson County Republican Party, regular on this program, always pleased to bring on Paul DeMarco. Paul, good morning. How are you?
Thank you, Jeff. Glad to be with you and your listeners this morning.
Hey, thanks for making time for us. I guess before we get into the politics of the day, just this is up in your neck of the woods. You just told me it was Cahaba Heights. You know, everybody's talking about it being Vestavia. I guess Cahaba Heights is in Vestavia now, but that's
right.
Your jurisdiction.
That's right. But it's that part of Vestavia, this church where it happened. The church is tucked away off of Overton Road, so we'll find out shortly. But obviously, everybody just, you know, really upset about the shooting at this church. But we don't have any idea yet about motive or even who the victims were. We're waiting, and I guess the news will come out this morning, so everybody's trying to just digest. Last night, everybody's just trying to digest, you know, this happening, the shooting at this church here. So we'll know this morning more of the details.
But I tell you, as soon as the news broke, the usual suspects, at least in this state, talking about gun control already. So and I guess that's just got to be the thing that we got to deal with now in this brave new world. Paul, let's kick it off here. Well, what do you think about the runoff? Is there any, it seems a little anticlimactic. And my theory on the Tuesday's election is this. That through his endorsement of Katie Britt, Donald Trump has, in fact, kind of suppressed turnout. Because a lot of people are looking at it now saying, well, why even bother? It's over. And people might stay home, and that, I think, is going to make turnout even lower than, well, what, you know, the modeling or whatever Merrill's saying, 12 to 15%. But I'm hearing some people tell me as low as 8% is what they're going off of.
Jeff, I can't argue with you that as much as the story about the voting, it's about the turnout. And a third week of the summer election, when school's out, people are taking vacation, I hope next week you and I are not talking about less than a 10% voter turnout. That's going to be a real shame. All of these elections are important. Obviously, we're talking about the Senate election, but, you know, there are also these other, you know, constitutional offices, and they're, you know, across the state, some other runoffs as well. So I hope people get out and vote. Everybody's so frustrated with what's going on in the country now, right now in Washington, D.C., but, you know, it starts off at home with your local officials and making sure the right people are in office. So I hope everybody gets out next Tuesday.
Well, I tell you, though, I just, we seem to be in this world where people don't necessarily, they think the general election's when all the action is or where you need to, and it's a matter of picking the candidates. And I, you know, yeah, I'm going to vote. I'm going to vote in the general election. I think of my dad. You know, I grew up in Shelby County, and he couldn't even tell you who his congressman was. He didn't know what Spencer Baucus was, but he knew all about what Rush Limbaugh or whatever. And they went out to vote in the general election. The primary was. It's like Mike Duran. They just didn't know enough about the candidates to even bother with it.
Well, you talk about it every year. The power of our state legislature and the power of our governor. You look at what's happened in the pandemic, and folks have got to know who their state representative and state senator are in this state because they can effectuate change. They can get something done they want to do in this state, but they've got to know who those folks are and talk to them and not just let somebody else do it, not just drop an email. You can actually, you know, pick up the phone and talk to them or see them and talk to them, and it's so important. So all those legislators on the ballot this year, obviously some of them have challengers, but I hope that more people are getting engaged based on what they're seeing going on in this country right now.
Well, in that and just, you know, you not being happy with the governor at one point, there was a lot of kind of pushback against the way she had handled it. In the end, it didn't really matter. And in fact, despite the somewhat low turnout in the primary election, there's some of these candidates won with big margins. And I don't know, you know, are we, given that you had such low turnout, can we say that these candidates like Katie Britt and Kay Ivey have a mandate? I don't know.
I think that's a good point. Does somebody have a mandate if they win? I don't think anybody has a mandate, because I think everybody's just so divided. I think these are the folks that got the voters to get behind them because they have confidence that they're going to get up there and represent what they want to see, either in Washington, D.C. or the governor's mansion. I wouldn't use the word mandate. I'm like, they campaigned the best. They had the best message. They won their elections. And obviously, Kay, based on the fact that she's been there for, been the longest serving governor, is that correct? And Katie ran the campaign that she needed to do. And again, it's not over yet. And I would never say anything can happen in Alabama politics, especially in a runoff. But we'll see what happens. But obviously, she's run a very good campaign based on what's happened today.
So, Paul, this end kind of from this press conference underway, the suspect, a 71-year-old white male, described as an occasional attendee of St. Stephen's Episcopal Church. Victims range from 75 to 84 years old and was disarmed by the members there. So the name will not be released at this time, but the 71-year-old white male is all they're telling us.
The question is, and I haven't seen it yet because I was doing was it random? Was there a relationship to this church? And this church is tucked away.
Well, they said an occasional attendee of the church. So
okay.
There's some kind of relationship
connection there.
Yeah, for sure. It wasn't just a random act of violence. Apparently, there was something.
Everybody last night just thought, where the location was to be. Just a random didn't make any sense to anyone.
And
I think that's why you're seeing, we've talked about police and security, obviously at the schools, but even at the churches, look what's going on. Kind of off a little bit, but we talk about security at churches based on what's going on with this Roe versus Wade, the vandalism at churches, the attacks at churches, even before all this, folks need to have the presence of police or security everywhere. Obviously last night, even at a church, not even during a service, is what a lot of folks are talking about.
Joined by Paul DeMarco, chairman of the Jefferson County Republican Party here on the program. Paul, so you have a unique position here as a county party chairman to comment on this. The close primary push. Now we saw what happened to Tom Watley down in, ironically happened to Tom Watley. And we all know Tom Watley's history. Once a Democrat and a Republican senator, and now appears to have been defeated by Democrat voters, losing by one vote. We'll see what happens there. But what do you think of that episode? But then this kind of push now we're hearing about closing party primaries in Alabama.
Well, people have been talking about party primary registration for 20 years in this state, so I don't think it's unique to this election. And it appears to me that it's going to have some pretty good momentum going into next session. You know, Florida's got it, and they've been able to make it work. For a place like Jefferson County, maybe even Mobile County, where people are going to have to make the decision. Now, look, you could turn around the next election cycle, but you're going to have to go through some work to do it to change your voter registration. But up here, I think we'll have the right candidates where people will say, hey, if I want to have any influence up here, I'm going to have to vote in the Republican primary because I want to have a say on, all the statewide offices and as we're working on local candidates. So I see it happening. Again, you're going to have there are voters out there that just look at the person. They don't look at the party. You know that. I know that. The question will be, what will they do? Kind of a casual voter like that. But I see it happening. in the next 4 years.
Well, what's your perspective on it? You're in a swing county. I think one of the few swing counties left in Alabama. If it's not purple, it's certainly trending blue. But to close out the primaries, it's not like in other counties, so like Winston County or something, where you just really everything really is decided at the primary or in the primary runoff. But where you really do have two-party primaries with a number of voters, and then, you know, there's a lot of stuff on the ballot on both sides. Maybe statewide is more relevant to go Republican, and maybe locally more Democrat. But what do you think that looks like, or what do you think that means for a county like Jefferson County with, the, you know, obviously the big population and all of that?
You know, I have talked to folks about it before. I mean, what we've seen is with some, you know, how some of the straight party voting is going. Actually, in this past primary 3 weeks ago, Jeff, there were more Republicans that voted in Jefferson County than Democrats. So I think if the party makes sure they have the best candidates out there, and I think the Republican Party will have the best candidates up and down the ballot, I see how this will help Jefferson County when it comes to getting Republicans elected. We've discussed a lot, and of course we don't know what the bill is going to look like. Is it going to look like a Florida or what some of the other states? But if you're telling folks you have to register, and the candidates in the Republican ticket are the better candidates, you're going to draw those folks to register as Republicans. I don't think they're just going to not play in the elections. I said, well, if I've got to register, I'm going to register where the best candidates are, and they're going to come over to the Republican Party. So that's where I see it right now. Again, I'd like to see what the bill is going to look like during the next legislative session, but that's what I think it's going to look like. If you got the best candidates, you're going to draw the voters, right?
Right. I don't know. There's always these situations, these Operation Chaos type situations too, and meddling and doing things like that to really upset any chance one or another party has, I suppose. But I don't. I guess you're right. We'll have to wait and see what is proposed. But what is the ideal circumstance from your perspective?
Well, I mean, again, there are some folks who will tell you, look, I want the best candidate regardless of their party. But if you look in Alabama in the year 2022, we'll have the best candidate. And so if people are going to have to register, I think they're going to register with the Republican Party. You're right.
Let me ask it to you like this, though. Were there two party prime? Were there two viable parties to vote in their primary? And let's use Florida, for example. You had two robust party primaries, and that typically those kinds of contests lends the it puts the most ideologically compatible candidate, perhaps, I think, puts him in position to be the nominee. So if you have all the Democrats voting for the liberal candidate, and you have all the Republicans that are going to vote for the most conservative candidate, and that gives us a Ron DeSantis, our Texas, that gives you a Greg Abbott. Whereas in Alabama, it's all sort of blended together, and maybe there's a dilution of values. And this was certainly true for the Democrats when it was a one-party state. You had more conservative Democrats. Could you have more moderate, or, well, I don't know if you have anything called a liberal Republican in this state, but it's certainly not of the standing of a DeSantis. And I think when you have that sort of one-party unipartyism, it does sort of give you, you know, it doesn't give you the honest representation of what we think of as a Republican.
Right. And look, if someone tells you, hey, voter registration is going to keep anyone from going to play in somebody else's party, you know that's not true. You know that it can still happen in the future. I think folks are just looking for a method to make people say, because there's some who are just never going to register as a Republican or as a Democrat. They're just like, look, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to go, as much as I want to influence the other election, I'm not going to go do that because I don't want to have Republican by my name or Democrat by my name. So I do think it will have some effect. Now, what effect? Again, let's look and see what the bill does. I'd like to know what, how it's in other states. You know, there's some states like Texas, I believe, or, and I may be wrong about this, but they don't have some straight ticket voting. We've talked about that in Jefferson County with not having straight ticket votes for some of the judicial races. Not at the statewide level. Some folks have talked about that. Do you get rid of some of the straight ticket voting in some places around the state? So there's a lot of different ways to look at it. I don't think anybody's proposing the jungle primary like you've got in Louisiana or Alaska. But I think everybody is going to be looking, and you know, I think we'll see a number of election bills in next year's legislative session, Jeff, in 2023.
Even what they did in Georgia, right? Had you not had the jungle primary and you don't have a Doug Collins, the Republicans have control of the U.S. Senate right now, don't they?
Yeah. So I think we'll be talking a lot about election legislation next March when the lawmakers go back in session, Jeff.
Paul, we appreciate it. Best of luck to you on wherever you're heading on your vacation. But thanks for coming on this morning.
Thank you to you and your listeners. Go have a great weekend.
You do the same. Paul DeMarco, ladies and gentlemen, we got to get a break here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Paul Show at FM Talk 106.5. Mississippi, blessed Graceland whispers to me. Carry on, sweet southern comfort, carry on.